It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Thomas Costanzo, filling in for Ernest Hancock. And we've just gotten done speaking with Rob Gray at Open Currency and how the open currency system will help improve your life by having real value, returning real value to the money system. Now, there was an interesting story that was posted on Freedom's Phoenix yesterday, I believe it was. And it's called Money as Debt. And this is a video series that was done to explain how the monetary system actually it works. And it's done like in a cartoon form because I think – and this is great because we are so disinformed of how our monetary system works that to relate it as a cartoon for as an adult I think is a very good way to – show how the system actually works. The you know it's like our system, our government, the Borg have reduced our learning and disinformation, so we have as little information as possible. And so having this as a cartoon really makes a lot of sense. And basically what he talks about is 95% of all the money that we have, you know, the green paper things they call money that we have in circulation, that's only about 5% of the total all the money that's in the world. 95% of the money is created by the bank. Well, how do they do that? Well, when you put your money in the bank, they give you a statement which shows how much money you have in the bank. Well, that money has now been loaned out to somebody else. So you have the bank is basically giving you a promise to pay you back the money. They don't actually have the money. They are giving you a promise to pay the money. And because of the Federal Reserve System, we only really have one bank. It's all the banks are essentially operating under the umbrella of the Federal Reserve. And so what that does is it allow them to have a closed system. So they do not want any kind of competing systems. I mean, for example, a great example is when you go to the store, how many different types of cereal are there? Well, there's many, 50, 100, I don't know how many types of cereals there are. But why is that? Well, because I may like Honey Nut Clusters of Oats and you may like Cheerios. Well, why should there only be one kind of money? And this money is not a very good money, but guess what? We're not going to give you any other types of any alternatives, so you really can't complain. It's a total monopoly on how people exchange their time with one another, because basically all the money is a way to keep track of who owes what to whom. Well, if the money isn't based on anything, then and you give someone the power to create money out of nothing, well, then have you not given that person ultimate power? And that's what we have done in this country. We have given the Federal Reserve, we've given the government ultimate power by being able to create money out of nothing. And this creation of money out of nothing and the having to pay an interest payment to some banker for creating money out of nothing is just absolutely absurd. So anyway, we're rolling into our next break, and this is Thomas Costanzo on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Thomas Costanzo, filling in for Ernest Hancock. And it looks like we have three callers on the line, and we have Tom from Arizona. Tom?
Hey, Thomas, how you doing? This is Tom.
Oh, great. How you doing?
Yeah, I wanted to get a question in for Rob, but I guess I missed him.
Okay.
I was wondering if they're working on having a smaller denomination coins.
You know,
for doing transactions that's less than an ounce of silver. Do you know?
Yes, I've been on their website. Actually, I'm one of their currency officers here in Arizona, so I am part of the system. And what they're doing is they are moving to smaller denominations of silver. But as the money inflates, what happens is that where there's a point at which right now the coins are 50 for 1 ounce, and as once the silver reaches a certain threshold, and I forget what exactly that dollar denomination is, then we will go to a 100 base coin for the 1 ounce.
Okay.
So what they'll probably end up doing, I'm sure when it goes to that level, then we'll definitely have to have a smaller coin just to have the 50. And then they'll even have to have a smaller, then we'll have even a smaller coin than that in order to have the smaller coins. But it's going to be really interesting to see how this is all going to pan out. You know, it's funny, one of the smartest men I ever met in my life, his name was Larry Thomason. And Larry, one of his sayings was, and I've always held this to be true, is Tom, it's very easy to predict the future. It's the when that's the hard part. So I stay away from predicting the whens, but the
right.
Inevitable is staring us in the face. And when you look at the fact that there in the history of the world there has never been a fiat currency that's ever survived, then history is just going to repeat itself. Well, what are we going to do? Are they going to go to a new Amero where we have the North American Union? Because now we have the European Union, and now you have the American Union, and then you'll have the Asian Union, the African Union. Because now all these people have to become unionized in order, so they don't get squelched out.
Right.
So, yeah, so and what's interesting here too is I'm thinking about this North American Union, and then read the book 1984. I mean, I didn't read it when I was in high school, but I read it after 2001, after our I don't know what you want to call it, but we had this thing happen in New York, and some people say it was terrorists, but I think we know who the real terrorists were. But anyway, and you look at how our country has gone since 2001. In fact, last night there was a very interesting show on History Channel where they talked about how would the government handle a bombing of a nuclear bomb in Washington, D.C. And they talked about all these first responders and how they'd take care of all, we don't even have enough burn units in the whole country if there was a nuclear bomb to go off in a major city. And they also talked about how we have this the continuation of government, COG, and this is how the government is going to perpetuate itself in the event of, everything being destroyed. What happens then? Who gets nominated? Who's the president now? Who's the vice president? How that's all going to play out? So very interesting, especially the way they talked about the show or on the show was like, it's not a when thing. It's not an if thing. It's a when thing. So
right.
How is that all going to play out? And it's interesting. How can you destroy a free society by destroying a city? And they're talking about, well, if Washington D.C. is destroyed, well then, we're going to lose our freedoms. Well, why is that? Why is bombing a city in one part of the country have to affect everyone else? It's totally amazing.
we have to lose all our freedoms, basically, because, you know, to protect ourselves from some event that may or may not happen, or, you know.
Or may have happened, but who's, you know, maybe if there's someone on the inside that's going to profit by this, well, maybe they're going
to
do it.
I mean, they're not going to be able to probably prevent it anyway. So what's the point of giving up all our freedom for the, you know, the pretend idea that they might be able to actually prevent it from happening?
Right, right, right. And we're preparing for, and they're preparing for this inevitability. This, you know, this so
right.
this inevitable thing that they're it's a very interesting show. I highly recommend it. It was on History Channel.
Well, I really like what Rob's doing. What's his last name? Rob Gray. Rob Gray, yeah.
And he was with www.opencurrency.com.
Yeah, I really like what he's doing. It's, you know, it's awesome. This is the first time I've heard about the AG Trading Group.
Right.
And that sounds a great idea too. I'd like to. We need to do something like that here in the Phoenix area.
Sure.
I think would be, you know, pretty cool. So maybe we can maybe at some point we need to go down there and check out what they're doing and maybe see if we can do something like that over here.
Yeah, I know we got a storefront right next door to us with it's by 5,000 square feet. I think we could have we could have Heyday right there, man.
Just put it right next to Ernie's workshop.
Sure.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think it would go very nicely. Very, very nicely. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Tom.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a great day.
All right, too. Bye.
And we have our next caller on the line. Oh, Charlene?
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Charlene. Where are you calling in from?
Hi. I'm in Denver.
You're in Denver?
Yes.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for calling in.
Well, you asked me to call you, so I'm calling you.
Well, very good.
I have to plug my phone in, my cell phone. I hope I don't to the charger here, so I don't get disconnected.
Okay. What did you? I noticed on your website you have Open Currency listed on your website too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just sitting here trying to decide what I wanted to ask you about. And I think that you and I had spoken last week about possibly having a coin for Musicians for Freedom, for example, that had, you know, a silver coin where on one side it would say Musicians for Freedom, the logo, and on the other side we would have, you know, some legendary musicians like, you know, freedom-oriented musicians like Bob Marley or John Lennon.
Or how about Bob Dylan? Did he fit in
that? Oh, yeah. Or even Jordan Page.
Oh, wow. We could have one that's alive. Well, I guess I guess Bob Dylan's still alive. But, yeah, that would be very, very cool. I think that is a great project. And, you know, as Ernie says around here, I think you're in charge of it. One of the very interesting about Freedom's Phoenix is we have a rule that, you know, if you have an idea, then you're in charge of your idea. We don't have any. We're actually having a one and only. Well, we have them every once in a while. We're having a you should meeting today down here at the workshop. So this is a you should do this and you should do that type meeting where we're going to be planning what we're going to be, what kind of interesting campaigns we're going to be doing here for the next election cycle, like as if the votes really matter or count or anything like that. But we're going to be having a you should meeting. So. We're going to, you know, do that, and then I think that, yeah, I like the Musicians for Freedom. I think that's a very good idea. The drawback is basically you just have to make the dies, you know, and pay somebody to make the dies.
As a matter of fact, I'm in touch with some folks here. I went to the Freedom Festival in Las Vegas. And I have some friends that were working at the booth over there. And I'm not sure if I met Rob, but I definitely met a few people, Eddie and Fernanda, and I'm in touch with Jeremy Trudell here in Denver. And we discussed possibly, you know, ways that we could fund that because the die itself costs about $2,500 or so. So, but, you know, really it's a drop in the bucket, so to speak, when you consider the enormous market. Because there's such a markup on alcohol in bars. And so my vision was to go ahead and have the bars sign on as merchants and then pay all of their musicians in silver.
Sure. I think it's a flyable idea, definitely.
Because, as you know, you purchase the coin for maybe $4 or $5 over spot, which usually comes out to maybe $20 currently or thereabouts.
Right.
And then you can spend it in the network for $50 worth of services. And so, you know, I've spoken with a couple of the bar owners around here, and they're definitely interested because, you know, at the end of the evening, they have real money, real silver in their drawer and not just pieces of paper.
Right, right. And then also it encourages the patrons. You know, how cool would it be if you're a Bob Dylan fan to have a Bob Dylan coin? You might not want to spend it.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea, of course, is currency in the system. Hold on just, I have a call beeping in. I'm sorry, I apologize. But, you know, the other thing that I wanted to say is that it makes an excellent business card for both bands and music venues.
Sure.
And so, yeah, and so instead of just handing somebody a business card on a piece of paper, you can actually hand them your coin.
Sure, as long as they give me $25 at least. No,
you
but
know,
I hear what you're saying, though. Yeah, it's like you have a, you know, it has the website address for, you know, like the Von Mises Institute,
band.
For Freedom's
mm-hmm.
Phoenix, for Live Free or Die State. So, I mean, yes, there is a lot of big benefits to having that, and it's a way of continuing that marketing forever. You know, I don't know if I can put this last thought in, but if there was a sunken treasure chest at the bottom of the ocean, it was filled with $100 bills from, you know, the Spanish Inquisition, how much would that be worth? Nothing.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Thomas Costanzo, filling in for Ernest Hancock, and we have another caller on the line. And what do we have? Bob from Florida.
Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. I wanted to compliment you on the job that you're doing for Freedom's Phoenix. You're really making those guys rock and roll.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I am the sales manager over here. So, you know, if you need ads on Declare Your Independence, or if you need you want to help sponsor the show, help sponsor Freedom's Phoenix, then you can send me an email to sales@freedomsphoenix.com. Thank you very much for giving me a space to give myself a plug.
Really? So what's the subject of the day?
Well, we've been talking about open currency, the Federal Reserve, how the Federal Reserve operates, and, you know, Bob was also talking about, he has a Sojourist organization, and we talk about how they want to clog up the system with their law, you know, bringing the law into the courtroom, so to speak.
Law. My goodness, have you had a discussion about laws that are legitimate versus laws that are not legitimate?
No, actually, I don't think we have.
Well, that's something your listeners might be interested in. Every law implies the use of force to forbid something. What gets forbidden, you can get permission, for example, you pay a fee, and then you're no longer forbidden. Oh, my gosh. You can see where that's going.
Yeah.
But anyway, some of the laws that are on the books forbid things that everybody knows is bad. In law, they're called mala in se, which means evils in and of themselves, like violence and murder and theft and assault and so forth and so on. Everybody agrees that these are bad things and they should be outlawed. And then there's another group of laws that are referred to as mala prohibita. These are things forbidden just because someone wants to say no to you, just because somebody wants to take advantage of you or exploit you or steal from you, and so they're going to forbid you from doing something that they don't like. Mala prohibita. And here's an interesting thing I've noticed, that the enforcement of laws against mala prohibita is in itself mala in se. In other words, if you are in law enforcement or if you are in the judicial system, if you're a judge or a policeman or an attorney who's prosecuting cases, and you go after someone for disobeying a law that is based on mala prohibita, you're doing something intrinsically evil, which is to say, mala in se. And the legal system seems to have forgotten that, you know, that there's this distinction that used to be part of the common law, and now most of the laws on the books, the vast majority, are laws against mala prohibita. In other words, someone wants to have their way with you, and so they make a law.
Right.
It's a terrible thing, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and then so they make money on both sides of the equation. One, they make money on giving you the license to do the thing that's prohibited. Otherwise, I think the word license means to allow somebody to do something that would otherwise be illegal. So you're
right.
Basically paying to do something that's illegal. And then you make money on the other side of the equation when someone doesn't pay their fee, and now you can haul them into court and steal their money that way.
That's right.
And so this government that we have is just they're just a bunch of pirates, you know. I mean, it's really, you know, this concept was first introduced to me by Bob Schultz at one of the We the People conferences. Basically, it's like imagine we're living on a cruise ship. We're on this cruise ship. And you got the lights are playing, you got the casinos going, people are dancing in the nightclub or what have you. You're having a good time. Everyone's having a good time. And then these pirates board our vehicle, our ship, and then they kill the captain, they kill the crew, they put on their uniforms, and they just keep – and they're driving our ship into the ground, you know, Well, you could write some letters to our pirates. Maybe they'll, you know, if we all write a letter to the pirates, maybe they'll, you know, quit driving our ship into the ground. You know, they're not repairing it. They're, you know, we're not getting clean water. We're waging war against people that did nothing against us. Well, the pirates, you know, you could have everybody on the ship write them a letter. What do you think they're going to do? Well, we'll throw that in the garbage too. And that's what these people are doing. They don't care. They're a bunch of pirates.
You made a good point that asking permission of the bad guys to not treat you from that bad guy position is futile. There's no use trying to change the system from within by instituting laws that are strictly laws against mala in se, because these guys make profits every day, millions and millions of dollars in profits.
Bob, I'm going to have to cut you off real fast. Let me bring you back after the break. This is Thomas Costanzo on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Thomas Costanzo, filling in for Ernest Hancock, and we have Bob Podolsky on the line. Bob, you were talking about the different types of laws.
Yes, and the futility of trying to stay within existing law if you're going to make any real change. The guys that make the laws do it for their benefit and for the people they work for. They don't care about you or me. And, you know, I get really frustrated sometimes with people basically saying, write to your congressman, write to your senator, write to this Politico or that Politico, oh, support this party or that party. But, you know, they're all the same. They're all pirates, as you put it. I like that analogy. That's a great analogy, a great metaphor.
Oh, I think it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, perfect may be a little strong, you know, but it's great nonetheless.
Okay.
Anyway, I appreciate you strive for perfection. Anyhow, so I just wanted to add my two cents that if you're looking to the government to fix any societal problem, you're looking at the cause of the problem and asking it to undo the problem. It's not going to happen. Something very different has to take place in the consciousness of the public. And you guys on the radio, you're making it happen. You're telling it like it is. And I want to thank you. And, you know, just I really appreciate programs like this that tell the truth about how things work and dispel the lies and deceptions. I think it's great.
Well, you're part of that, Bob, because I know you've written some articles for Freedom's Phoenix, and you also are an author yourself, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've written 5 books, 2 of them are in print, and the others are available, as it were, in PDF form. So, yeah, I like to write about this stuff. I wish I could devote myself full time to doing that. But I just think that you have a very, not only is it what you're doing good, but I think that the audience, the people out there who listen to programs like yours, are a superior kind of people. That they really have an understanding that the bad guys are in charge and they're not going to step down just because we ask them to.
Right.
So the question really becomes, how do we get rid of all those laws against mala prohibita and only enforce laws against mala in se? It means a whole new legal system. And it ain't going to come from the government.
No, because they're already entrenched. They like it the way it is.
Exactly. So what I would like people to think about is how to create a legal system outside the government, an independent legal system with clout. I think it can be done, and it's not going to be easy. We'll meet with a lot of resistance. But if there are attorneys out there who are unhappy with the legal system the way it is, they ought to get in touch with me, and we'll talk about an alternative legal system.
How would they get in touch with you, Bob?
Well, one way to do that is to email me. I have several email addresses. The one that I think I would like to receive that kind of mail on is called Two Titanians. That's TWOTITAN, as in November, IAN again, S, Two Titanians, @yahoo.com.
Okay.
If they email me, I'll be glad to talk with them on the phone and talk about what would an alternative legal system look like and how could a group of people who understand what law is about actually create such a system and defend it in the face of the attacks that it will undoubtedly come under, because you know, the government and the people who own the government, they're not going to like having an independent legal system that they don't control.
No, because so, yeah, now you're edging in on their monopoly. You're moving in on their turf.
Exactly. But you know, if this the way I conceive of such a system, it would be sufficiently dispersed, and there would be sufficiently large numbers of people knowing how to do it that it would be impossible to outlaw it effectively.
Right.
It means that most of the population would have to have some understanding of what legitimate law is about. But that's just an education process, and you're proving here and now that that can happen. Legitimate law that allows people their freedoms is something that is a doable proposition. Most people think it's an either or. They think either we have to have government in order to have an orderly society, or we're going to have chaos. You know, anarchy.
Mogadishu.
Chaos. Right.
Somalia.
Exactly. But there is an alternative that I'm aware of, and there isn't time left on your show to go into the details, but there is a methodology that would allow a group of people, it has to be a pretty good size group, but doesn't have to be in the millions to start, a few dozen people who are interested and have some understanding of the way things are now in terms of government and law. There's an article on Freedom's Phoenix called Ethics, Law, and Government. I happen to be the author of it. People who are interested in this subject ought to go look up that article on Freedom's Phoenix, and you'll get some of the basics that go into what would be involved in creating an independent, legitimate, ethical, legal system outside of government. I'd be really excited to hear from some of those folks, and I'm sure that Freedom's Phoenix would...
Yeah, we have an email system. Reach you through our email system, and
exactly.
Then also, I believe it also has a connection probably to your website. And so they can always go and connect you back with that way.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, that's a very interesting concept, and I'm all for it. I mean, basically, the problem is we're moving in a direction of centralization. Everything has to be directed to a one singular point. And that's what is the basic problem with one of the basic problems that we have in our country is that we have there's no decentralization of things. Even for example, corporations, and that's another thing that I don't do, is if I can avoid going buying something from a corporation, I do it. Like where I live, I pay to a person. I pay it to a human being. I don't want to live in under a structure of the corporation, because basically all these corporations are really one corporation. They're just a tentacle of the major corporation, which in fact is the United States, the federal government, because they grant them the ability to operate as a corporation. The corporation doesn't exist in the real world. It's this imaginary thing. And whether they got the corporate status from the state, well, the state gets its corporate status from the federal government. And that's so not what our country was designed to be. Our country was...
Let me take that a step further. Okay. These days, since the introduction of the Federal Reserve in 1913, it works the other way around. The Federal Reserve doesn't work for the government. The government works for the Federal Reserve.
Right.
They're the boss, and the Federal Reserve is just one of a whole bunch of central banks that come together in the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, which is the central bank of central banks. And that's where, geographically, the real seat of power lies. Now, I have doubts that the individuals who are running that business or who own it, I doubt that they're on that piece of real estate much of the time. But they do come together to meet, which is very interesting.
Yeah, well, they have like the G20 meetings and so forth. And the G5 or whatever, the different G's.
And certainly related. But the government groups that meet ultimately are controlled by the banking groups. You know, a central bank is a cartel, and a cartel is a shared monopoly that exists only for two reasons. One is to maintain its position as a monopoly, and secondly, to maximize its profits. So since that's the nature of a central bank, everything else resolves from that. The structures of, and behavior of government, how politics is run, most of which is a charade. There's another article on Freedom Phoenix that I would call your attention to on this subject. It's called Borg, the Robot We Call Government. That's B-O-R-G with periods in between. It's an acronym for big banking business, that's the B, organized religion, and government. And the thing we call government is a robot. It's a machine. A machine, in, by general definition, is just something which increases someone's ability to predict and control events in the environment. You can put that another way. It extends or increases the intelligence of the person running the machine. It gives, you know, it gives you eyes that see further and ears that hear further and hands that reach further and feet that take you further. It is an enhancement of the human capability. Well, government is a machine in that sense, and it's like a robot, and you can't fix it. And if you read that article, you'll find out why you can't fix government. It's designed from the get-go to resist.
It's repair.
Fixing. There are repairs that are done to it, but it is a self-repairing machine designed to recognize those things that threaten the machine's owners and to not permit them. Read the article. I think you'll find it interesting. Your listeners will find it interesting to think of government as a purposeful machine that cannot be repaired by elections or letters to Congress, etc. It cannot happen. It is not in the nature of this machine to allow itself to be swayed from its central purpose, which is serving the interests of this cartel
and propagating
that owns the
itself world. And keeping itself going. It's
exactly.
It's like they were talking about the show I was talking about earlier. It's called the COG, continuation of government. So if a bomb was to fall on Washington D.C., what is the apparatus that will keep the government going?
Right.
I mean, we don't care about anything else. We just want to be able to make sure we can still somehow we can rule over the masses.
Exactly.
When they're actually sovereign, every human being out there is a sovereign person. If you choose to, well, you are sovereign, but most people don't realize that they are. They just think they work for the government in some way.
Yeah.
It's like
exactly.
The IRS. You know, if the IRS was just 1%, would that be a big deal? I mean, what's the matter with that? Well, if they can take 1%, why can't they take 100%?
That's right, and they do.
You're either owned, you're either free, or you are not free. There's no in between, I'm partially free. And if someone has a right to your property before you do, then you are, by definition, a slave.
Well, you know, right along with that, when you think about property taxes, what happens if you don't pay your property taxes?
Well,
lose
usually
the property.
Yeah, they what happens is they steal it. Somebody will decide that
they
it's theirs.
They take it away.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You didn't really own it in the first place.
No.
You're renting it from the county.
Right. Cuz if you have ownership, that means you have complete dominion over that object. Well,
exactly.
If I have complete dominion over an object, how can someone sell it out from without my permission?
Exactly.
Means, obviously, you never owned it to begin with.
You thought you did. It's an illusion.
Right. It's all an illusion. It's like everything's an illusion. It's like, what's not an illusion? That's the thing that's really...
Well, I like hearing you say that, and I'll give you an interesting comparison, then I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
But, you know, most people think that Albert Einstein, in his invention of relativity, that he came up with the idea that everything is relative, okay? That if you measure the speed of something, the measurement you get will depend upon your own speed. In other words, you measure the speed of a planet moving through space, and the result you get will depend upon what speed you're moving through space. Well, that is not the basis of relativity. The basis of relativity is that Einstein discovered that not everything is relative. It wasn't the discovery that everything is relative. Everybody knew that long before. He found something that was not relative, and that is the speed of light. No matter where you are or how you're moving or how fast you go, if you make a measurement of the speed of light in any direction, you'll always get the same result. It's an absolute. Now, from a political standpoint or a social evolution standpoint, we need to think of freedom as that kind of absolute. We need to think of it as something that isn't relative, that no one else controls it. They may say they do. People have power to do things to you that you don't like. It doesn't give them the right to do those things.
Well, might makes right in our government.
That is the ethic of government. Might makes right. And in the end, it leads to mutual destruction.
We're coming up on a break, Bob. Will you be coming back?
No, I've got to go. I've got some things to do, but I'll be glad to talk with you again in the near future.
All right. Well, thank you very much. This is
Best
Thomas Costanzo from Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. We'll be returning in just a moment.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Thomas Costanzo, filling in for Ernest Hancock, and we're wrapping up our show. We had a great show. We talked about the open currency, the AG trading post, where we're going to be only accepting silver to be able to purchase from the trading post. Then we also had a few callers, and Bob Podolsky talked a little bit about the different types of law, mala in se and mala problema. No, whatever, that wasn't it. But anyway, different types of laws that are inherently bad, and then laws that the government just creates to be able to tax us and take our money. Now, we have an interesting law that's going to be coming up on, that's going to be taking into effect on Wednesday here in Arizona, and that's the ability of people to be able to carry a firearm into a restaurant or bar. Now, they're not allowed to drink while they're carrying their firearm into the restaurant or bar, but they are allowed to carry concealed. So, interestingly, you can't smoke in Arizona in a bar, but you can bring in a gun. So that's going to be something new. We'll see what's going to happen with that. I'm sure we'll have a lot of there'll be a lot of stories on that and how that's going to have. Hopefully, it's not going to affect anybody. I mean, it's really not a big deal. We have the right to carry and bear arms. So what's the big deal? One other interesting thing that's coming up today is we're going to have Ron Paul is going to be on The Daily Show tonight. So that is a pretty nice development. We'll have Ron Paul on The Daily Show, and he'll be able to recap all the things that he told everybody was going to happen. And that should be really, really interesting. I mean, Ron Paul is probably one of the best speakers I've ever seen. His demeanor, his way of carrying himself in a conversation. I know when the Ron Paul revolution was going full swing, I was watching every video, and I have to tell people that he has significantly impacted the way I interact with people, because the way he is so disarming of individuals. He doesn't attack people. He talks about issues, and I thought I was good before I started listening to Ron Paul, and the man is a genius. I mean, he absolutely is. He's a Jedi master, and to watch him in action and how he just tears people apart without them feeling like they're an idiot. I mean, he's just so amazingly to the point, and what a great speaker he is, Ron Paul on the Daily Show. I mean, that's the, you know, set your TiVos and be prepared to watch that. I know I'm going to be watching it because Ron Paul, you set the bar pretty high for me, and I like to think to some way of like to follow in your footsteps to some degree, and you know, just the way you deal with people is just absolutely amazing. So anyway, we have this also going back to the law that's going to allow people to bring guns into restaurants. This is going to be amazing how this is going to allow people more freedom, because really that's what freedom is. What's the question? Freedom's the answer. And that's something that Ernie's always said, and it's really impacted me too significantly. What's the answer is always freedom. What's the question? This is Thomas Costanzo signing off for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence from Phoenix, Arizona.